live and local on AM 770 KTTH. Your independent conservative host, Todd Herman, welcomes you to The Todd Herman Show.
Well, I'm very frustrated. I generally don't like to get involved in blaming people because I think that would maybe push them back even more. Rather than, I mean, I could totally understand the governor's frustration. So I don't have any problem with that. She has every right to be frustrated. But what I would really like to see is more and more of the leaders in those areas that are not vaccinated to get out and speak out and encourage people to get vaccinated.
Today is the day the Lord has made, and these are the times in which God has decided we shall live. Times such as these. And in these times, as the book of Esther says, the times such as these, we are seeing the reality of human skepticism for the win. Of what Rush used to refer to as wisdom guided by experience. God rest Rush. Rush used to describe it as wisdom guided by experience in his own life as he presented the news of the day to us for all those years. There is wisdom guided by experience for the win. And we are watching the party that cannot be wrong. The party can never be wrong. Well, masks don't work. The nation's top leading expert on infectious diseases said masks don't work. Well, masks are a useful tool to save lives. The nation's top leading expert on infectious diseases says masks save lives. Well, keep in mind, I would be very, very careful about hydroxychloroquine. It's basically a poison. The nation's top expert on infectious diseases says hydroxychloroquine is a poison. 2005, Tony Fauci. Well, hydroxychloroquine is very useful for treating upper respiratory viruses. It is like a it's part therapeutic and part vaccine in a way. The nation's top expert on infectious diseases says hydroxychloroquine. Get it? The party cannot be wrong. At no point will the Mockingbird media say that Fauci was wrong. At no point will they admit that their design. Now, look, this is the mystery of our lives. In one way, it doesn't matter. In one way, it actually doesn't matter who is pushing the division of the country with nonsense like masks work, but they don't, but they do, but there's very serious, but they don't. Or race grievance pimping or pretending that little kids are not born one sex or the other. It's just a toss-up until they get into kindergarten and read enough books on gender ideology and say, oh, I'm not really anything. I want all my genitalia removed, which is, by the way, a process they'll offer you now. I'm not kidding. There are plastic surgeons who will say, oh, you're neither sex. Well, let's just remove all your genitalia and we'll just put like a slit or a hole or just, I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be gross. I'm just, the party can't be wrong. And the media would admit their role in this. And in one way, it doesn't matter who the useful idiots are versus who the people are pushing it, except it does matter. If you can't name your enemy, you can't fight your enemy. And we have some. There's the useful idiots and there's the people who are being pushed into useful idiocy. Case in point. A Gallup survey William Jacobson wrote about at legalinsurrection.com shows that the race relations in the country have taken a radical drop. After President Obama was elected, they took a radical drop. And I remember at the time saying, wait a minute, this was to be racial healing, but that wasn't the design. The design was never about healing, it was about division. That drop was profound. Now we're dealing with something new in 2021. We are seeing the overall positive ratings on race relations take the proverbial nosedive since 2020 and 2021. Black adults, the positive view of race relations in the country is down to 33%. White adults, 43% in this Gallup poll. There was a drop when President Obama was elected, a precipitous drop in black Americans, but white Americans saw it differently. They saw race relations as far better in Obama's presidency. Then that leveled off. 33% of black people have a positive view of race relations. Well, congratulations to Black Lives Matter Incorporated. This is excellent work. You've earned those billions of dollars. And congratulations to the woke companies who have paid into this, like Amazon.com and the Washington Post and Starbucks and the NFL and the NBA and Major League Baseball. And congratulations. Now the NFL intends to play the black national anthem because there's a nation within a nation. Never mind that we are we. And if we're not we, you're going to see a divorce. If we're not we in terms of being a country, you're going to see a divorce. Sometimes those aren't amicable. Sometimes there's domestic violence in divorces. You think our relationship as a whole is different than a part, than a family? It's not. When this country is torn apart, you think that all comes off peaceably? Better pray it does. We're in a time of choosing. So with the race relations where they're at, you'd think that the party had the win. But they don't. 60% of people want to see a probe of Black Lives Matter Incorporated riots that took black lives and white lives. 60% of people want to see that investigated instead of the January 6th riots. Instead of that, human skepticism for the win. Human intelligence guided by experience for the win. The party's having trouble containing the narrative. Why did the cops let the rioters in? Why did they welcome them in? Why did Nancy Pelosi turn down offers from President Trump to have the National Guard surround the Capitol? Why did she turn down offers from the Pentagon for help? Why, since we know there were FBI informants agitating the crowd, in the crowd, surveilling the crowd long prior to them going to D.C., why didn't they stop it? Oh, by the way, what percentage of people per race group want to see January 6th investigated? 60% in every racial group want to see, pardon me, the Black Lives Matter Incorporated riots investigated versus January 6th. Every racial group in this poll. There's a level of suspicion that the party allowed the riots to continue. Do you think that we are the only ones who know they allowed it to continue? This level of suspicion, it's reasonable to have. You had the Democrat vice president, we're told to call Kamala Harris the vice president. She raised money to bail out the rioters. There's a level of suspicion, and it makes sense. Now, there is an obvious hit out on Tucker Carlson, a reputational hit. They clearly want him gone. So you have this thing in the store in Montana where the Mockingbirds aren't reporting that this guy is apparently a federal employee who went to Tucker Carlson and said, you're the worst person in the world. He apparently works in nonprofits that are mobbed up with the federal government. He's not a neutral actor. Oh, it's just a shopper in Montana. Just can't stand him, some Tucker Carlson. Okay. Want to know one of the reasons they want Tucker gone? Is because of some of the people Tucker's finding to talk with, like a DEA agent who was there on January 6th. Who invited him? Tucker Carlson has had a number of just so important shows. He is doing things and talking about things one is not to talk about in media. He's talking about the injuries from the mRNA injections. He's talking about the deaths from the mRNA injections, and he's doing a good job of putting it in context. They're rare, but are these really vaccines? I'm not. I made a joke last hour about tracking devices. There's no tracking devices in the mRNA injections, as far as I know. But they're not really vaccines. Case in point, study after study indicating that people who get the mRNA injections, after the first injection, they see a spike in infections. After the second injection, these things last maybe 2 months, maybe, with some protection, but they're not creating immunities. Do you know how important that data is? I've been saying for over a year, they're not really vaccines. Why? Because there's a legal definition of a vaccine. Why does that matter? Because as Alex Berenson, Alex, welcome to the party on this one, my friend. I was ahead of you on this. If they're not really vaccines, you can't be legally forced to take one without a court order. They're therapeutics, it appears. Oh. Like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. But without the hundreds of billions of dollars for Tony Fauci's bosses in Big Pharma. Tucker Carlson has talked about aspects of this COVID deception. He's talked about the 35,000 people who voted illegally in Georgia. Not kind of illegally, illegally. Their votes should not have counted. They didn't live where they said they lived. We're not to talk about this. We're to pretend it's all on the up and up. Tucker talked on his show about the fact that there were FBI agents involved in the January 6th event, that they were in the crowd, that they were agitating people. It's his opinion, as I understand Tucker's opinion, that they helped this thing metastasize and grow, that they wanted this thing to become what it was, just like they wanted the kidnapping in Michigan to happen with 12 informants there, one of whom is apparently a wife beater. 12 agents, 4 actual alleged criminals. 3-to-1 ratio, cop to criminal. Now, Tucker Carlson has talked with a former DEA agent who says he was invited by an FBI informant to go to January 6th. He took his gun, the DEA agent did. Want to know why? Federal officials are told to carry their guns.
Mark Ibrahim is a 32-year-old Army veteran who served in Iraq. On January 6th of this year, he was a federal agent. He worked for the Drug Enforcement Administration, the DEA. Ibrahim says he went to the Capitol that day because he was invited by an FBI informant, a man he had known in Iraq. We have confirmed this is true. We've reached out to that man, the man that Ibrahim went to the protest with. He denies he encouraged anyone to break the law, but that man did confirm that he has been an FBI informant. He confirmed the FBI knew he was at the Capitol that day, and he confirmed he invited Mark Ibrahim to the protest.
And Mark is facing legal consequences. You can hear the full interview at Fox News, Tucker Carlson's page, of this agent. Which brings to mind an opportunity for a contrast and compare. Remember, the party can never be wrong. So that's the effort they've undertaken to track down Americans like an 80-year-old man who lives in Harlem, who was a legendary philanthropist for his local community, giving and helping and thought of as a guy who he goes to the food bank. He cleans up. He helps people cross the streets. Then the feds show up at his house, steal his computer, keep him in his apartment all day, label him a domestic terrorist, not because he went inside the Capitol. He didn't. Not because he broke anything. He didn't. Not because he's accused of any violent acts. He's not. Not because he's accused of vandalism. He's not. He went to Washington, D.C. on January 6th. They tracked him down. They humiliated him. We can talk about the 93-year-old man they did that with. We could talk about the couple in Alaska who never entered the Capitol, but they sent agents to their house to interrogate them and to intimidate them. All around the country, they're tracking down anybody who showed up. We can talk about the Seattle cops who are facing firing because they were said to have smiled and stood in a zone they're not supposed to stand in, just like so many tourists do. They're not accused of violence or vandalism or anything, but they may face firing. Oh, but what about the five visiting researchers who research things like viruses, who came to the United States and forgot to mention that they work for the Chinese Communist Party military? They came here, as the Wall Street Journal reports, and it slipped their mind. They forgot to tell us that, oh, yeah, we work for the Chinese Communist Party military, the same military that has taken over the Wuhan lab. The Justice Department, the same Justice Department, going after 80-year-old retirees in Harlem, 93-year-old grandpas in Florida, couples in Alaska, cops in Seattle, none of them accused of any violence, none of them accused of any vandalism. They just went to Washington, D.C. The same Justice Department that reports indicate has gone to the credit card companies and said, show us anybody who made any charges in D.C. on those days. That has gone to the social media companies. The same Justice Department working with Joe Biden's dementia to disappear information from Facebook that questions the narrative of the COVID flu. That same Justice Department about these five visiting researchers who forgot to tell us they work for the Chinese Communist Party military. The Justice Department has dropped the charges. Some FBI analysts cast doubt on the value of the cases. What, you mean like with a cloth? What difference at this point does it make? Some officials question the value of the case. No reasonable prosecutor would bring charges against Hillary Clinton. No reasonable prosecutor would bring charges against five apparatchiks of the Chinese military in this country under guise of being virus researchers. The party can never be wrong. And yet, human intelligence is winning. Intelligence guided by experience, wisdom, as Rush would say, is winning. You need more of a comparison? The same Department of Justice that dropped all the charges against Hillary, that made up the charges against Trump, they've decided they're not going to investigate King Inslee in Washington State, Andy Cuomo, the thug of New York, Whitmer, the queen thug of Michigan, for putting COVID-positive patients into the last place a junior high science student would put someone with a flu into nursing homes. They're not going to investigate that. But you question the COVID narrative? Online? Joe Biden's dementia will work with Facebook to disappear you. In Canada, they'll call it hate speech and get into your text messages. Politico reports the party wants in our text messages in this country. But folks, just to make sure you don't share information, this disinformation about the COVID flu. We'll come back with your emails on the Todd Herman Show.
It's your turn to text the Todd Herman Show.
The rule's pretty simple.
Be concise, be precise, and drop the mic. 800-465-8770.
Right. Remember, you can also email us, therman@ktth.com. And first time you text in, please give yourself a nickname. Use your first name, initial, make something up, whatever you want. Alex, or this in this case, Brady this week, we'll put it into the system. That way we feel like we're communicating with the human beings. You only need to do that once. From Tyler. Todd, in late 2019, my father's good friend invited my father, brother, and I on a moose hunt in Alberta for September 2020's season on his dime, and our hunt has been delayed until the border opens back up. Just this week, the Canadian borders were announced to be open to fully vaccinated Americans with a negative COVID-19 test. This generous man hosting us for this hunt is in his 70s and is vaccinated. It would be very difficult to explain to him that the three of us are not interested in gene replacement shots at this early stage, as we are 58, 37, and 39 years old, respectively. How would you approach this conversation without being disrespectful for this disrespectful towards this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity or damaging he and my father's relationships? To make things more interesting, his stepson is a doctor of virology. I hope to see you around North Idaho someday. Thanks to you and your team for a terrific program. I'd appreciate it if you could point me toward the COVID-19 fact sheet your team put together. God bless you and your family continually. Thank you, Tyler. What a horrible note. What a great note, but what a horrible note. Gosh, I guess I would suggest to the gentleman, well, first of all, you can't get across the border without the mRNA injections. So I would just tell him you can't get across the Canadian border. Unless you're going to lie about the mRNA injections, and I wouldn't do that because I know people who've been stuck in Canada after lying about things and not allowed back into the United States. Don't do that. But the way I'm reading your note, and what I understand is it's the borders open for people who have had the mRNA injections and a negative test for the COVID flu, which is completely dependent upon what cycle PCR test they use. So it sounds like you're not going. But if you decide or somehow able to get across the border and go, I would suggest to him that you've made this. I would be just very honest. We've looked at the injections. We've looked at the math. We've examined the return on investment. We've examined our risk-reward scenario. They don't work for us, the risk-reward scenario. It's not something that we're going to do. So what about if we camp out? What about if we live in a tent? What if we live apart? What if we only hunt together and we stay outdoors? Would that be safe enough for you? Would that make you feel safe enough? After all, you guys have had the mRNA injections. And your son's a virologist. He's probably told you that the mRNA injections make you safe. They don't make people safe. They lessen the symptoms. But I would be completely respectful to this gentleman. Obviously, he's being respectful to you and inviting you on this once-in-a-lifetime trip. I that's what I would try, is try to mitigate it by distance. And Tyler, God bless you and your family. And I will email you back a link to our show sheet, our fact sheet. And by the way, that's going to get disappeared, guys. Just so we're all clear, it's going to get disappeared. So I will look to create something at mynorthwest.com, ktth.com that we own in hopes that it's not disappeared. But Scribd is already apparently, I think Scribd is scrubbing some links. I don't want to accuse them, but I've got three notes today where people are saying some of the information on your COVID fact sheets being disappeared. Doesn't surprise me. Apparently, Google is going through and cleansing people's Google Drives and Google Documents to remove offending material. If you want to keep something, get it on your own computer. And even then, keep copies on offline. Next up on the email from Vicky in Pasco, Washington. Todd, you often talk about your time in Spokane. Did you ever get down to any of the smaller towns in Washington State? You know we're human beings here, too. We appreciate a shout out. I don't know how small of a town Pasco is, honestly. Honestly, come on. It's part of the Tri-Cities. Okay, I guess you want a shout out for the Tri-Cities. You get a shout out for the Tri-Cities. I'll tell you this. We used to wrestle in the Tri-Cities, and I had some heckalicious wrestling times in the Tri-Cities. And yes, so shout out to the Tri-Cities. Got that. Thank you very much. Catching up with emails from Howard in New York City, New York. Todd, following up on an email from a fellow New Yorker, you said you were going to create New York Spirit. We're still waiting on that. There's a whole bunch of topics back here. There was the Antifa event over the weekend where they sought out patriots and went to go beat them in the streets, and de Blasio's cops wouldn't do anything. There's a series of shootings. Have you seen these in broad day? Andy Ngo's gone from tracking Antifa to tracking New York City shootings. There's the attacks on Asians. Todd, we're just absolutely brimming with material. Please bring the New York spirit to your show. Love the idea of the New York Dolls or the Ramones. Please bring this. We in New York City await the arrival of New York spirit. Thanks for the show. God bless you and yours. Okay, so I guess the reason we don't have New York spirit this week is because Alex is out. It's a new feature. I need Alex's participation in building that feature. No disrespect to my buddy Brady, who's filling in and doing a monster job this week. I love his radio name, Brady Bones. So we'll get on that. Also, continuing to catch up on emails. I will double down on the text tomorrow. Please don't feel put off if we didn't get to your text messages today. I will double down on the text tomorrow. From Julie in Phoenix, Arizona. Dear Todd, would you advise my daughter to move to Seattle? This is a serious question. She's been accepted to university there. She's excited about the opportunity, and she doesn't see anything risky about moving to the city. Obviously, being her mother, I'm concerned about it, and so is her dad. She's a pretty smart and really trusting girl. If she moves there, is there anything we should tell her? And is it really as bad as you and your colleague who comes on your show on Thursdays make it sound? Yes, it is that bad. Would I advise your daughter to move here to Seattle? No, I wouldn't. Not for any reason. Not for any reason. There's nothing she can get in Seattle that she can't get outside of Seattle. Now, I could hear Seattle and say, wait a minute, we've got the mountains, yep, so do other places. We've got the ocean, so do other places. We've got the sound, we've got Puget Sound. Yep, that's true. You do have Puget Sound, you can't get Puget Sound elsewhere. But you can get these things. You can get them without the heroin needles. You can get them without the record high rapes. You can get them without the record high murders. You can get them without the record high property crimes. You can get them without the record high sex trafficking. You can get them without the threat of another medically useless, deadly, politically advantageous lockdowns of school children while abortion clinics stay open. Now, I would tell you this, Julie, if your daughter is particularly street smart, you didn't describe her as street smart, maybe. But she's not going to be allowed to carry on her college campus. I would not, for the life of me, tell a young woman or any woman to live in Seattle without being a concealed carry holder who's trained in defensive shooting tactics and, by the way, self-defense, both of them. Now, is that a paranoid statement? No, it's not. You're unlikely to be raped, except I know 2-3 women who've been raped. I have a colleague in radio who came upon a man assaulting his wife under an overpass. She was jogging, and he beat the man. That was years ago. And what I'm saying is, statistically speaking, yeah, it's unlikely, and yet it's more likely in Seattle than just about any place else. And there's no help, and it's not coming, and it's not going to get better. And the police can do very little. Would I advise you to have your daughter move here? No. Not under any circumstances. I mean, maybe one of the things you could do is come and tour it with her. And come and see, when we're talking about drug trafficking camps, don't go in them. I beg you, don't go in them. Go see them. Do drive-bys. And if you decide to do that, let me know. And I'll give you some of the hotspots. But depending on what campus she's getting accepted to, if it's the University of Washington, they've invited these people to live on their campus. And there's been murders, an increasing number of them around there. Statistically speaking, your daughter's probably more likely to get killed in a traffic accident anywhere. And yet, you have to drive. You don't have to move to Seattle for anything. We'll come back and wrap up the day with a personal note next on The Todd Herman Show.
Down on Main Street.
Down on Main Street. Sometimes in madness, there is wisdom. And sometimes with people who have perhaps, God forbid, completely lost their mind. There's glimmers of wisdom, maybe memories of wisdom, memories of guidance. Yesterday after the program, I had the intent of going to the gym. This is often my intent. Well, it's in fact what I do. And I went to our little gas station and saw a woman who was not well. And she was going about between the gas pumps and begging for money and kind of weaving around. And my faith calls me to talk to people like this. I promise you, I'm not the hero of any story here. I'm not. I don't see myself that way at all. In fact, I don't think I did enough. But my faith and the part of the Christian faith that haunts me most is Christ saying, as you treat the least of these, so you treat me. And you know my story about the Russian woman in New York and what that meant to me. So I approached this lady and asked her what was going on. And it was very difficult to get a coherent thread until I kind of understood her speaking pattern. About 70% was relevant to the immediate situation, about 30% was not. But what I was able to glean in this hardened but still pretty and scared but still friendly woman who was baking in the sun, who had slept for an hour in the dirt behind this building, who had been riding around with someone on a motorcycle, whom she described as someone who, her phrase was, well, you can't just capture people and then make them stand in the sun, and you just don't, just because you're bigger, you can't capture a person. It was a haunting thing to hear. So in talking with her, I figured out, well, she told me she lived about an hour and 15 minutes from where we were. I went inside to think about this situation. I bought her some water and some food because she was parched. And it was 89 degrees going on 99 today. She was in a concrete area next to a very busy freeway, next to a sex trafficking transfer station. So speaking with her, she told me, I own a house. I own property. I've been a plumber since I was like 11, and I just need to get home. And I talked to the women who've lived here a lot younger than we have about, are there any buses? Are there any services? And I thought of taking her to my church. And I finally just realized I am duty bound to take her home. So we jumped in my truck. I changed my plans. I texted my wife. I told her what was going on. And I started to drive this woman named Jennifer to Priest River. And on the way, as we talked, I was trying to parse out this conversation, like, how much is real? Am I really taking you home? Am I really taking you someplace you live? And when we get there, am I going to be confronted with, like, are you the property, so to speak? Because I don't believe humans can be property, but are you the property of a motorcycle club? Right? Am I taking someone who's being trafficked? If that's the case, okay, but let's be aware of that. Let's be straight up. And near as I could tell, none of that was the case. And I asked her about her kids. She has three of them. The oldest are teens. The youngest is a little girl. She's 8. And Jennifer told me, I finally feel like I did the thing that matters. I've had two husbands. I had three separate fathers. Well, not fathers, but separate people. And when you sleep with a lot of people, when you have sex and you do that and someone gets gonorrhea and then you don't tell them, and just that much sex, and you kiss boys and so many boys, and that it's like having loose wires in a house. Sometimes there's wisdom. I said, Jennifer, loose wires in a house? She goes, yeah, just they're not connected, but they're dangerous, and they're not, it's not closed off, so it's not a connection, but it's still sparks. It's still, and just because someone's bigger than you, just because they're bigger, they can't capture you, just, and not to hit people. And because he said, don't kill, don't hit people. And so we're back into what's probably meth land. She spoke of open wires, unclosed wires. This glimpse. We drove through a town called Spirit Lake. She had to stop at a restroom. And so I'm just sitting here texting my wife again. I can't believe I'm taking this lady to Priest River. My wife said, are you sure you're okay? Yeah, she's a very friendly lady. She's just not well. When she gets back into the truck and we continue on, and I asked her, Jennifer, are your parents still alive? Well, I think you know, when he died, I think he said to my mom, don't pay attention to her, but I think she wants to be my mom. I think that she wants to, but she wants me to stop the things that I do. Sounds like a mom, Jennifer. Well, and my young ones, and so they have a mom and dad, and they have my young one. She has new parents, and the new parents give her all the things that I'm broken. I can't give these things, and I'm broken. And she has them, and it's the most beautiful thing. And it's just I just love that she has, and she's clean. So now we're nearing Priest River, and I'm beginning to doubt. That am I actually taking her somewhere? Because in between her midst of wisdom, of little bits of wisdom, oh, stop here. They give free dog food for dogs. My dog's 24. He needs to eat. His name is Wyatt. We stopped, and sure enough, there's a sign for free dog food. We got to her land. It's real. She actually has a shop she lives in. It's a metal shop on the river. It's like the meth house you would expect. It's just filled with trash everywhere. No, except for one corner, which is spotless. And that's where her 24-year-old dog, she says he's 24, sat with about 25 bowls of water and access to the river if he ran out. He was so glad to see her. Everything else in that place was a mess. And Jennifer turned around to me and she said, my dog always has water. He always has shade. Just because you're bigger doesn't mean you can hit a dog. I'd never hit my dog. Don't hit dogs. They're special. And I gave her a hug and I told her that God loves her. And she said, I know, mister. So please say a prayer for Jennifer. Oh, I stopped and talked to an officer on the way out of town. And I said, I dropped a woman off. She was in Hauser. He said, is her name Jennifer? I said, yeah. He goes, yeah, we know her. A couple years ago, we took her kids away. She didn't fight us. She said it was for the best. I'll pop in and check on her later. Small towns. This is the Todd Herman Show. We are every weekday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. live on the Pacific Coast on podcasts everywhere. Go be well, be strong, and be kind.